Gospel of John, chapter 13. I'd like to share a little bit on the subject of sharing grace. Not this grace. But sharing grace. And then last week, we went over, looked at some things concerning increasing in our love and love being loving. And we looked at this scripture in John chapter 13. It's Jesus speaking to the disciples, the apostles, after he, it was his last night, the Last Supper night, and he had washed their feet. And in verse 34, he gives a new commandment to them. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Remember, the second commandment of the Ten Commandments was love thy neighbor as thyself. The standard was you would love other people like you would love yourself. Jesus Christ is raising that bar that by saying to love one another as I have loved you. Verse 35, by this referring to how you would love others like you were loved, as Jesus Christ loved you, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have loved one to another. So the standard became, this game changer there, that we are loving to love one another as we were loved by God Almighty, as Jesus Christ loved them, and as God loves us. Let's go to John chapter 17. This is the infamous verse I couldn't remember last week. John chapter 17. So it's beyond loving as yourself, which is a great standard. I mean, obviously nothing wrong with it, but it's even bigger because now it's available to love bigger because of the Spirit of God we have in us. John chapter 17, verse 26. This is the end of a prayer that Jesus Christ had to God in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." So God loved Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loved the apostles and disciples like he was loved by God Almighty. And he's in his prayer saying that that love will be in the believers, and that it would be in them, and that he would be in them. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. So we're to love with the love wherewith we've been loved. And we've been loved by the greatest love ever to be and ever will be. That's with the love of God. You know, to be tenderly loved by God Almighty. You know, as parents, we endeavor to love our children as best as possible. But it's not the same as God Almighty loving us and taking great care of us. So, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." That's a great standard to endeavor to walk and live. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. We are to love with the love of God towards each other and to all people. Romans chapter 5. And in verse 6. You know, Ephesians made reference to Jesus Christ sacrificing, giving his life as a sacrifice. Verse 6 of chapter 5. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." We were part of that ungodly pool. We were right there. And we were without strength. We did not have the ability to save ourselves. No man has ever had the ability to save themselves. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet wonderful people that deserved everything, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a love that the world doesn't really know, just doesn't comprehend at all. But we're to love like that. Let's go to just up a couple verses here. Verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We were saved by grace. This love that we've gotten is because of grace. It's not because we deserved it. And that's why we are getting loved so much. The word access there, well, we have this access, is the act of bringing to or moving to. We have access to God's grace that's towards us, which is really wild. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Loving one another, there's grace involved with it. There's so many things, characteristics of God that kind of like meld together, and you can't like necessarily spotlight one without somehow seeing the others. I mean, we're to love, you know, God is love, but, you know, grace is involved there, mercy is involved there, a lot of things involved with a relationship. And great love towards one another, towards all people, has a requirement of thinking in terms of grace. Grace is where you've earned everything, therefore you deserve everything. But sometimes that's how we treat each other, or others treat each other. Well, I'm not going to help them because, you know, they never did anything for me. You know, it's just the way it is. The word grace, as we know, is the Greek word charis. And one definition of it that's pretty succinct and simple is that grace is divine, unmerited favor. Divine referring to is from God. Unmerited referring to you didn't do anything to deserve it. And favor where you're just plain old good in his sight. Like if we say something's favorable to me, that means I like it. We just happen to be in God's favor. Not because we did anything. It's just because that's his nature. He just loves, and part of that is because of grace. Ephesians is loaded with grace. We're just going to look at a couple verses. Chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It's going to take a long time for him to show that, how big that stuff is. For by grace, now imagine us being in heaven for 18 trillion years already, and he's still showing us his grace, and we're still going, you know, sometimes we can hear God's word, and after a while we heard it so many times, it's like, it doesn't have a thrill, or it can be like that. You know, your brain just goes, I've heard that before. We'll be there maybe 30 billion years, and we still go, it's going to take a long time for him to show all the exceeding riches of his grace. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we would walk in them. So our salvation was based on God's grace to us and his great love and his great mercy. It's nothing that we earned, and it's nothing we can lose. We didn't work for it, and we can't screw it up either. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's quite a company of people or items, to, so to speak, of having grace come. God, the creator of heaven and earth, and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, does it get any bigger than that? If you got three letters in the mail, one of them was from God Almighty, one of them was from some...
Publisher's Clearinghouse.
A what?
It's a rich guy.
There you go.
A mailman.
And one from the natural gas company.
A mailman. No one from the natural store company. No.
Which one do you think you'd get the most excited about?
The one from God.
Hey. From God. You know, we have this grace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In the beloved. We are accepted in God's sight. There's just so much to grace. It's just amazing. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. And it will take all of eternity for God to show us the exceeding greatness of his grace. In the meantime, we can learn a little bit about it and endeavor to incorporate that in our lives, which will help us to love with the love wherewith God has loved us. It's like we're supposed to forgive one another, even as God, Christ said, hath forgiven you. I remember Dr. Rolfton saying, it's easy for me to forgive somebody when I remember what I've been forgiven for. When you forget how much of a stinker you were or still are. You know, it's just the way it is. It's all really tied together. And grace is part of that. If our thinking is in terms of grace, it's easier to love with the love of God towards one another. So at the end of chapter 2, it gives some, the last few verses give some things that the new born-again believers that were in Jerusalem were doing. They were, you know, getting in the Word together and breaking bread together. And verse 47 is the culmination of it, where it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The word having favor could also be translated as sharing grace. The word having is a verb, and it means to have or to hold, but it's in the sense of utilization. It's in the sense of actually utilizing something, doing of what you have. And what they had was grace. The word favor there is the word for grace. And what they were doing is they were sharing the grace of God that they had that was upon their lives, and they were giving it to others as part of just living life. Like, for instance, when we love, if we love somebody with the love of God, we don't lose any of that love. Like, if I had $300 and I gave Truman 100 of it, I'd only have 200 left, right? But if I have this much love of God and I love Truman with the love of God, I don't diminish a little bit of love. It's not like you run out of love and then someday you got to go to the gas station and fill up again. You know? Same thing with grace. When we share or give grace, it's not that we lose anymore. The benefactor is both the person and the receiver. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. They were sharing grace or giving grace with one another. that's a lot better than how sometimes people treat each other. Most people are like, oh, I'm tired of this stuff. Why is that? Because they're receiving grace all the time from other people, or receiving something to start to the nest? So it's just wild, you know. You never get tired of being loved with the love of God, even though you don't deserve it. I hadn't done anything to deserve it. So Ephesians 4:29 gives an example. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Corrupt communication are words that tear down people. It messes things up. It's words that don't edify. They're words that can hurt a person's heart, hurt a person's life. You know, there's a lot concerning what we speak in the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, it talks about the sharp tongue could hurt people. You know, so God says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but, and that's one of those big buts, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And the word minister there isn't the word for minister like servant, or like doulos, or the Greek words that deal with a minister. It's the word didomai, Greek word didomai, and the definition is to give. And most of the way it's translated is, you're laughing, Susan. Did I say something wrong?
She said the word butt, and that's a big butt. She's going to say butt and put it to her butt.
There you go.
But. She's listening.
But. Yeah. But.
Well, there's a big butt bush right around the corner.
There
right
it is.
I don't know if anybody's ever noticed. It's right around the corner. It's probably 10 feet tall, 10 feet tall. And it was one, I think it was two bushes, and they planted behind the green electric boxes that are here and there. I got one in the corner of my property. It's about that tall, maybe 3 feet by 3 feet. It's a green box. And they planted two bushes behind it, but they started growing up and towards one another. But the owner, so that the electric company had access to the butt, I mean to the box, had to cut the front. Like a wedge of it. And when you look at it, it looks like a big butt. So our grandkids like they like to go by the bush, and they always call it the big butt. So, anyway, the things that we think about. So the word minister is the Greek word for didomai, and it just means to give. And most of the time it's translated as give or gave or given. So, to the use of edifying, that it may give grace unto the hearers. Which would you rather hear, a lot of S or a lot of good stuff? Pretty obvious, right? Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. So, as we speak words that that aren't corrupting words, but rather words that are edifying, it gives grace to ourselves and to each other. Yay. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech, or the words you speak, be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So there's grace is to be involved with how we speak, what we speak to one another. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. So we're to share that grace that we've been given, that we didn't earn anything, and it's from the Lord. It's from God Almighty and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're simply sharing something from the creator of the heavens and earth, which is really wild when you think about it. And we have the privilege and the ability to do it. So this is a record where the Word of God was growing in areas as far as people getting involved with God's Word and growing in God's Word. And in verse 23, referring to Barnabas, he was moving from city to city just to bless the believers. And it says, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He saw the grace of God. So it must be something that you can see in evidence if he saw the grace of God. And the grace of God in manifestation would be in part that you treat people with the love of God even if they don't deserve it. They're still going to get loved and taken care of and prayed for and watched over, whether they deserve it or not, whether they've done anything to earn it, or how they are with unbelievers. You know, treat unbelievers with respect. Possibly they may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows? But in the meantime, you still love them. Still try to help them. I mean, some people are pretty bastardly. Doesn't mean you have to be best friends with them. But, you know, the Jesus Christ gave that example in the Gospels. Somebody got hurt, and he was he a publican? But anyway, he was not a well-liked type of person, and the priest walked by and saw it and walked on the other side of the road to avoid him, and then I guess it was a publican actually saw him and picked him up and took care of him. You know, the guy that's hurt, he didn't, why not help him? The way it is. So Barnabas saw the grace of God. What he saw in particular, we don't know, but he saw the grace of God in manifestation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to end there. When we share grace, we're not going to lose any. You don't have to hoard it. We have the greatest things to give because of what God has given us as far as sharing the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in believing, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. You know, abound in that grace. It's not something that you just got in your pocket and when you need it someday, you got it there. It's something that we just live. And it is easier to love with the love of God if you've got the grace of God in your heart. Because grace will say, they don't deserve anything before I'm willing to love them. But if that blocker is there, well, you know, like a prejudice, I don't like that style of person, so therefore I'm not going to try to be nice to them or whatever. What if they have cultural differences to you? You know, do you allow that to block everything? Like we're building we're doing a big remodel job for this house, and they're of a particular persuasion politically that is far different than how I would be or am. But I don't let that make an interference. It's like, well, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, that's not that big of a deal that it would stop me from wanting to do what I should do as a builder, but also as just a person to be blessed with talking to them and stuff like that. You know, we shouldn't have roadblocks because of color or because, you know, all the things that the world tries to. That's like chicken soup compared to how big grace, God's grace is. But we're to exhorted here to abound in all these things also with grace. That's something. But it's good to remind ourselves. We didn't get so good because of how wonderful we are ourselves on our own. We wouldn't even get into heaven. The easiest thing to get into, we wouldn't have gotten in if it wasn't for God's grace. Right? It's too big. So, it's just something we want to continue to grow in. And what a privilege. There's just no way you can get depressed if you remember what God has done for our lives.